Hollywood and the commercial film industry have come under increasing criticism in recent years for a lack of diversity. For many filmmakers of color trying to break into films, change can't come soon enough, and a new short film with a few El Paso connections hopes to spotlight the talent of a diverse filmmaking team. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is writer, director, and producer Maru Buendia-Sentias, whose short film Windows was selected for production as part of a Latino Lens incubator program in Los Angeles. Buendia-Sentias graduated from both UTEP and the master's program in film at the University of Texas at Austin and is among a vanguard of emerging talent in Hollywood that will bring about greater diversity in front of and behind the camera. I'm pleased to have her on the program today. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Great to have you, and I should mention you're joining us by phone from Los Angeles, where you're finishing your amazing short film. Your current short film is part of a special program to encourage Latino and Latina filmmakers that's promoted and put on by the National Association of Latino Independent Producers, and I understand without a grant from them, I guess they have a Latino Lens incubator program that this is part of. How did you get involved with your film and this organization?
Yes, I've been a part of the organization for a couple of years now, and it's very interesting what they do, because what they try to do is create meetings and special screenings and things for Latino filmmakers to be able to network and show their work. But what's very interesting about this year was that they created the special incubators so that they would have a better platform to show the work of different filmmakers. So it was a contest in a way, and many people applied, and you had to go through several stages in order to be able to be the finalist. And my team with Windows was lucky enough to be one of the four shorts that was chosen for the narrative incubator.
Your short film Windows is one of four films, as you mentioned, that received grant funding from NALIP, and what's interesting to me is that it's a science fiction high concept short film, which is a genre that is really not known for diversity. Did you specifically think this was a challenge you wanted to take on to show people that you can bring diversity to a genre that's usually not very diverse?
I think that in a way for me was just telling the stories that I like to tell, you know, including the diversity. And things like that just comes because that's part of who I am, since I'm Mexican, but I've lived in the U.S. So I think that those things just get incorporated into the stories that you write. And I love genre films. I love action. I love horror. I love sci-fi. And I think that putting yourself and your experience in the things you write is what makes it interesting. And this just happened to be a coincidence.
How do you like to describe the film for, I know it's not out yet, it's not available, but it will be soon. Give us a rundown of the synopsis of what this film is about.
Windows is a story about two isolated women that bond by sharing their lives through their windows, but they're never going to be able to meet. And this is a near future science fiction short that talks about the emerging technologies that we see in computer-human interface and artificial intelligence.
It's an amazing digital life you bring to the screen, extremely polished. I receive a lot of screeners and short films to look at, and I have to say it's one of the best things I've seen in the last few years. So when you put together your filmmaking team, your team itself is extremely diverse, and I should mention the amazing cinematography of the film is from another El Pasoan, Eliane Fenton. Beautifully shot, but is this team of filmmakers people you largely met in film school, or did you meet in L.A. or somewhere along the way, El Paso maybe?
A lot of the crew that I work with I've known since I was in UT, which it's what makes it so funny, because I went to UT, like you mentioned, to do my master's. So during that program, I met with a lot of the collaborators that I'm working with today. Like you mentioned, Eliane Fenton was at UT, and I met her, and she actually worked on my thesis, Entre Líneas, that was shot in El Paso and Ciudad Juárez.
Right.
And my co-writer and the sound supervisor, Glenn Eanes, he was also at UT. And our visual effects supervisor and compositor, Jaime Cano, was also an MFA at UT. And
right.
Funny enough, he also went to UTIP. So I known Jaime since my days back in UTIP while we were there. And then we were all in Austin, this group of people that have helped me in all of my projects throughout the years. And then I moved to LA and they were also here. So it was just a great experience to be able to work with such talented people that just help and push your vision forward. It's very exciting, and it's nice to have that amazing group of collaboration to be able to make this film a reality, and that they understand what you want to create and this world that we're making together.
And that world is a fascinating world. It's got quite a bit of visual effects, which I know you're trying to complete the project in the next few weeks, and as part of an Indiegogo campaign right now to complete some of the visual effects, but it's extremely polished. And you have a background in visual effects yourself. You worked for several years in Austin, most notably for Troublemaker Studios, which is Robert Rodriguez's film company. Is the visual effects side something that you've wanted to incorporate as you move into writing and directing, or is it just happened that way that you would make a sci-fi film that's requires a lot of very sophisticated visual effects?
Well, since I have a lot of interest in genre films, usually whether you want to or not, visual effects are always going to be a big part of it. And the challenge is always being able to incorporate those visual effects so that they're seamless. That's what actually makes it good. And that's a lot of what I learned while working at Troublemaker Studios, Robert Rodriguez Studios. And I learned a lot from working there because I worked on films like Predators and Machete. And being able to know how you can enhance certain things and where you can add those like sweeteners in the film is just amazing. With this project being sci-fi, obviously, we knew from the hand-on that there were going to be a lot of visual effects, especially because it's a very compelling exploration of how these technologies have an impact in our lives or may have in the future. So it's trying to put a reality that can be known to people, but how to enhance that of the possibility of what could be.
I know that this year, particularly around the Oscar nominations and broadcast, sort of galvanized criticism from a number of groups about the lack of diversity in Hollywood and the film industry, and it was certainly centered around the choices for Oscar nominations and awards this year. But I wonder, as we talk more about the need for diversity in that industry, it seems implicit in that call for greater diversity is not only a greater diversity of what we see on the screen vis-a-vis actors and people of color on screen, but behind the scene, I think is implicit that there is a range of stories that aren't being told that would be told if there is greater diversity in the production side of things. And I wonder, growing up in Mexico and then coming to UTEP and studying film and then going to UT Austin and studying film, if you understood there was these big hurdles ahead of you that you had to overcome.
In a way, yes, because you're able to see them as you start growing into what you want to be your career. But I think it became clearer as you start getting like into bigger opportunities, and you see that it is a challenge. I mean, I always knew that working in the film industry wasn't going to be easy, but I just saw it like in general because it's very competitive and it's a hard business.
Right.
But as I kept growing into it and you get to meet more people and you get to learn a little bit more of like the bigger picture, you realize that yes, like being Latino, you don't have that much representation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also being a woman, like even less. So, but it's not trying to say like, oh, I'm a victim or anything like this, because I don't feel that it's that way. It's just, I wish that it wasn't that way, and it didn't matter whether you're Mexican or South American or Asian or anything like that. That didn't matter, and that we would just be able like to tell the stories. And I think that's one of the things that diversity should be embraced more, because it's where we come from and where we've been that every story is going to be different. And now it gives that opportunity to Latinos to open that door, to be able to share those things, because at the end, it's where we come from that creates these different stories that maybe you haven't heard of, or maybe you don't see them in the light that we experience them.
Looking back on the process now of making Windows, writing, directing it, now you're close to finishing the post-production on it, do you see ways in which your own specific experience and cultural background wove itself into the story and the film that maybe you weren't conscious of up front?
Yeah, I think so, because when I started writing the story, immediately I knew that the main character, I want her to speak Spanish regardless of the world that she was in. And I need to mention our talented actress, Gabriela Hostos. She's also from El Paso. She also lived in Austin, and now she's here in L.A. So, it's very funny how we all got together. But in all of my films, I always, without thinking, just start writing these characters that either relate to me or my experiences. And for the main character, Luz, I always knew that I wanted her to speak Spanish. And as my co-writer and I kept working on it, we just realized, you know, she's in this weird world. She's in this futuristic dystopian society. So she's going to speak Spanish, and then the rest of her environment is going to speak English. And there wouldn't need to be a reason of why, and they would be understanding each other without them speaking the same language. And I think that that also comes from me being bilingual and growing in the border, you know, that you get used to being able to speak your own language and understand another. It's funny also because when we were on set, a lot of my crew spoke Spanish and the other half spoke English. So sometimes I ended up speaking Spanish to the people that didn't understand English, and they were just looking at me like, what are you saying? So I don't know. I think that it just sips in to what you do.
And the film itself is about sort of a constructed environment that, you know, is designed by someone. I won't give anything away in the film, but it's a virtual construction, and I guess our own lives are designed by others and the worlds we inhabit and the environments we operate in. I wanted to go back to something you were saying, though, about growing up and going through film school and thinking about the hurdles ahead of you. I wonder if part of the amazing thing, you're part of a generation that's going and making films now that you don't have a lot of role models and pathways that were already paved for you. You're sort of a pioneer in that regard. And I imagine part of the importance of the NALIP program and the making of these kinds of films is to not only spotlight the talent of people out there today, but also to create those role models for the next generation. So maybe in 10 or 15 years, young women and young Latinas can look at the kind of work you're doing now and say, okay, well, you know, there's already been someone ahead of me, and they can visualize for themselves a successful path forward.
Yes, there are a lot of challenges, and I personally have tried to look at my own personal role models or people that I look up to that have helped me over the years. Yes, you are correct with what you're talking, and I personally have been trying over the years to look up to my own role models of people that have helped me over the years, believed in my vision, and helped me to keep growing creatively and finding my own voice. Whether it was my professors that helped me with my projects or producers that I met along the way, there's always been key people that have keep pushing me to stay on the track that I'm in. And if someday I can be of any help of anybody, or if any young filmmakers see what we're trying to do today, later, and that inspires them, and we can be of help, that would make me very happy. Because a lot of times you just need to see that others tried and they were able to achieve something. And that's always inspiring, and it's great to be able to have these opportunities and to have those role models that push you forward. I had great professors at UT like Paul Steckler, Don Howard, Charles Ramirez-Berg that always trusted my vision. And over the work of in my professional career, people like Elizabeth Avellan and Joaquin Avellan at Troublemaker Studios that always supported the different visions that I had, and that's what makes it so interesting, of you being able to show and create things that are not usually expected, but that people like.
It's an extraordinary film, and I think we'll get a lot of great notices when it comes out. When will most of us and our listeners be able to see this film, and where?
Yes, we are currently still in post-production, and we're trying to get everything done, from visual effects to finishing the sound design and color correction. We're scheduled to have our special screening at NALIPS Media Summit on June 23rd at the Dolby Theater here in Los Angeles. So we're very excited about that. And later this year, Windows will also screen on HBO. So we're very excited about that and looking forward to it.
That's a big platform, HBO, and I'm excited that people will be able to see it there. We'll make sure we bring that to everyone's attention when the time gets closer. You are finishing the film, and I know you have a very important Indiegogo campaign going on right now with a goal of raising $23,000, of which you're more than halfway to that goal, but just 5 days remaining. How do people find out more about the film? Is it through the Indiegogo campaign?
Yes, they can visit our Indiegogo campaign at bit.ly/windowsfilm. And they can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at windowsfilm. And Facebook, it's Windows, a sci-fi short film. You can find
or just type in Windows in your name, and I'm sure Google will take you to all of those different sites. I wish you all the best with that. I know it's been a long journey from El Paso to Hollywood, and it's great to see so many with a Texas and especially El Paso connection working together out there, and I wish you all the best with your film.
Thank you so much, Chuck. It was a pleasure talking to you and having the opportunity to be in your show and be able to tell all the people in El Paso where we are and what we're doing.
My pleasure. I've been discussing issues of diversity in the film industry and a program to bring more exposure to Latino and Latina filmmakers with my guest, Maru Buendia Sentias, co-writer and director of the upcoming short science fiction film, Windows. Buendia Sentias and her film were among four projects selected by the National Association of Latino Independent Producers to be made in its Latino Lens Incubator Program. The film is in post-production and is seeking funds for completion through an Indiegogo campaign. To learn more about the film and its filmmakers and to support this project, log on to Indiegogo.com and just do a search for Windows. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.